This is one of those things that builds on itself. So yes, what you take home today can be very helpful, but please get the newsletter or listen to the other parts, because what has already transpired is drastically important for you to use and understand what we talk about for the rest of the series. This was supposed to be a three-parter, but as usual, I feel like I will have to go on. So we will take a commercial break and say, Selah, so you can let it sink in next week. And then I'm going to come back with a little bit more, because this is such an important topic. Thus far in our study, I'm going to give you a really quick review for those that haven't been here, and even for those that have been, so that we can fall into this in the right place. Okay? And I would like to take a 30-second time of prayer, because this is so important, before I begin. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just give this to you, and I pray that everything step aside, and that you would put a hunger in my heart and give me your eyes, and just let this get through, and let us see how drastically important this is. Let us see this is the pivotal point of everything. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Illuminate your Word in Christ's name. Amen. We've learned several important facts about hearing God, and one, the most important, obviously, is that not only does God absolutely still talk today, because so many people don't believe He does. They believe since the written Word, there's no reason for God to talk. Not only does He still talk, but He absolutely expects us to hear Him. And it is not, listen to me, an option for those of you that were not here. John 10:26 says, "But you don't believe Me," this is Jesus, "because you are not My sheep. My sheep listen to My voice. I know them and they follow Me." That is not a request. That is not an if you feel like it. That is a command that if you are His children, you will understand and hear His voice. This is where we really miss it. God is not just communicating to give us His will and pass on a roadmap. Listen, the biggest reason that God communicates with us is because He died to have fellowship with us. And you can't have an intimate relationship without a two-way communication. And if you're married and you want to test that theory, go ahead. And I'll give you some counseling when they leave you. But God wants to first and foremost talk to us, because He loves us, no matter what age or era you live in. And three, you got to have a heart ready to listen. So many people say that you want to know God's will, and you pray to know God's will, but you never really expect an answer. You never consciously, actively try to listen for what God's telling you. For reasons that we covered long ago, this is just a review. The problem with many people is you pray all day for God's will and never once do you truly look for Him to answer. And we've looked at two of the most important ways. Two of the most important. There's lots of ways God talks. And sometimes God is going to talk to us and we're not going to in any way, shape, form, or fashion know it's coming or be able to control how He does it, because He is God. But there are two ways in which He positively, absolutely speaks. And if you don't get these two ways down, nothing else matters, because they're the primary way. And without having knowledge of these two ways that God speaks, you can't trust any of the other ways that He speaks. The first is through His Word. How many times we've gone looking for an answer to something that He already gave us the answer to long ago. And if you don't know His Word and you're not in His Word first searching for an answer, then don't trust anything you think He might tell you any other way, because that's what you have to take it back to before you can trust it. And secondly, through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read this scripture to you again, just because those that were not here, you need to hear it. This is the most intimate, beautiful thing in the world. When we talk about, I've so often, and I know God can still do it, and I've heard people say they hear it, I've so wanted to hear the voice of God. Right? What God has given us, and I'm beginning to realize more and more, and it should get you excited, what God has given us is 1,000 times more intimate than hearing His voice. Okay? And I want you to look at this one verse, and it's the only one I'll revisit from all the previous lessons, but I want us to get this one. And it gets me excited. 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now listen to this. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of a man which is in him? In other words, for those that weren't here, who knows more about a man than the spirit deep inside of him? Your spirit that dwells deep inside of you, the deepest, darkest secrets and thoughts that not even your spouse or your best friends know, the spirit that's within you, the most inner person that nobody knows. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Now listen to this. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. He says in the same way, we were created after God's image. And the Spirit of God is that way with Him. It knows the deepest, most intimate thoughts of God. Now, listen to how it goes on. This is where it gets awesome. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. For who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Again, it's worth repeating because it's so awesome. Listen to me. God says, just as you have the deepest, darkest part of you that nobody knows about, God has the deepest, most intimate thoughts that only His Spirit knows. And He says, because I've sanctified you, this is how intimate I want to be with you. You listening? He says, I have put my Spirit in you, and my Spirit knows my deepest, most intimate parts. And I will share myself with you in a deeper way than you ever dreamed. Talking to you audibly would be superficial if you can really learn what I'm offering you. That's what this verse is saying. But we don't get it because we try to discern it with the natural man, and we don't truly give ourselves to wanting to know God and follow Him in the Spirit. And if we can ever grasp what it means to walk in the Spirit and listen in the Spirit, and we can get in touch with the very Spirit of God living in us, we will have an intimacy with God that is beyond reason. And that's what He says we can have. And that should give you all the impulse in the world to take what I'm telling you seriously and try to get this right. We will reach new heights with God in intimacy. It won't matter what He does in the real world. It won't matter what we see Him do or not do. What we will find in the fellowship will be all we have ever looked for. So that's where we are so far. I think one of the greatest examples I've ever seen of the Holy Spirit talking to somebody is when Don gave me his story of when his father passed away. And he knew deep in his spirit that the Lord told him that his father had just passed. To the point that when they came and told him, he wasn't surprised. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, your father knocked a clock over and broke it when he died. And it matched the exact same time that the Holy Spirit came and told you that he was home now. That's just awesome. That's the Spirit of the Lord talking to your spirit. So, and if you know Don, he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. So if he tells you that, it's real. Now we're going to look at several more scriptural ways that God speaks to us today. And I'm still going to cover one or two more after we have our visit next week. And then I'm going to take one more week to discuss how do you know it was God. There are some scriptural ways. So we got a lot more to cover, and it's awesome. And we're going to take our time because it's important. Now, listen in Romans concerning the gifts of the body, things you've heard before, but I'm going to bring something out that you might not have thought about before. Romans 12, 6 and verse 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Going to verse 8. He who exhorts in exhortation. Now, what Paul's doing here, he's plainly telling us that the gift of prophecy and exhortation is working in the church today. And you've probably gone through the classes even in this church to find your gifts. And these are two of those gifts. These gifts, prophecy is straight out. It's used to reveal God's will. Exhortation is used straight out to encourage you in pursuing and doing God's will. Am I right or wrong? Isn't that what those gifts are for? To show you God's will and to exhort you to continue in God's will. So, the obvious conclusion to that is that God uses other people to speak to you. Plain and simple. It's the third way we're going to cover. There are so many instances, I couldn't even bring you the scriptures, for how God has used other people to show His will, to speak His voice to someone else. And we're going to go into this. And what I want to do, I really want to break this down, because I want you to understand how God's working, why He's working, and what you need to look for. Because it's so abused, it's turned into such a fleshly thing to look for God's will and twist it around to what they want. People will go around after this sermon, if they don't listen close, and listen to five people that tell them what to do, and then the one that agrees with what they want to do anyway, they'll say, that one had to be of God. And they'll go run off and do what that person told them to do. Well, I listen to God because God talks to people, and they told me I need to leave my wife and run off with the choir director. Praise God! So, if you listen to me today, that will not happen. Okay? Because there are some very serious scriptural guidelines to this. Now, here's what we're going to do. We are going to take a look at a couple of the reasons why God uses others to speak. All right? Now, if you're listening, say, woohoo!
Woo-hoo!
All right, good deal. Number one, listen. Very often, listen to me. We can hear God ourselves. You've got to get this. The Holy Spirit lives in who? Anybody that believes in Christ and accepts Him as their Savior. You can hear God yourself, but you are going to have times that you need confirmation and encouragement. Straight up. I knew I wanted to marry my wife, and I hope she knew that she wanted to marry me too, but I bet there was a time she needed confirmation and encouragement before she did that. Stephanie, I'll talk with you later. Sometimes we know what God's telling us. And listen, oftentimes we are very willing, but we doubt ourselves. We doubt that we heard God right. And I'll tell you this, without going into the whole story, but, you know, there's some times that God spoke so clearly. When God told me that this ministry was supposed to be started, that one was a real bamboozled moment. And I won't give the whole story. Some of you have heard it. But when I was told directly, I felt in my heart that God was telling me to do something. And then someone came to me that had no idea what was going on in my heart and said, God's calling you into this. And so I said, you know, Lord, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to fast and pray through the weekend. Because I had just found the college I wanted to go to, Bible college. I had a year of Bible college. I was getting ready to go back and finish Bible college. And I was supposed to start very soon. And I didn't know whether I was supposed to go to school or start this church. And then this thing came up. And so I prayed and I fasted. And over that weekend, three people that never spoke to me before, that didn't have any idea what I was praying and fasting about, came up to me. One was Don's wife. Don's wife was actually in tears at Chuck E. Cheese and said, you're going to think I'm crazy, but God's told me to tell you today that you're supposed to start a church. Where in the world did that come from? Tell me. During the middle of my fast. So that happened, and like anybody else with great faith in God, I said, God, I'll give it one more day. Do that again. So, third day of my fast, I already know what God's told me. He's already confirmed it supernaturally. Some of you have heard this story, and I'm sorry you get to hear it again, but a lot of the visitors haven't. I'm taking a shower, and my wife comes in with a call from a friend. And that friend says, they really have to tell me something. I'm like, you need to translate through my wife. Not right now. So she says this. She says, I've got to say this just right because I feel like this is what God told me to tell you and it doesn't make sense to me, so it'll be just like God said it. God is asking me to tell you, what's taking you so long? Why are you having trouble getting started? And she said, does that mean anything to you? And I said, I don't know. I did, right there in the shower, just start bawling. I was like, okay, I give up, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. But in my moment of trial, it wasn't, God knew I was absolutely obedient. God knew I was all in. But He knew I absolutely could not believe He was going to use me to do this. And I had to have some confirmation. And oh my gosh, did He knock me over with it. Now, has it happened every week after? No. But when God has to do it, He does it. And when it happens, you don't have to question. It's real. So there are times that you just have to have confirmation and encouragement. And yes, God will use people to give it to you. Now here's the other one. Sometimes we are not ready or we are not able to hear God on our own. And this is what I mean by that. You're too close to the world at times. Even now, I'm the pastor. And if you don't think there's times that I get too fleshly to hear God, you're nuts. And I don't think you're going to find a pulpit anywhere that doesn't have the same problem. It's hopefully how broken do you get when you get there and how quick does God get you back. But every one of us, and I don't feel bad because David is a good company to be in, and it happened to David. There's times that we're just too close to the world and we can't hear God speak, and He's got something to tell us. And so what's His only method that He can use then? Knock you in the head with a 2x4 from somebody else. There's times we're just too immature to listen, and God really has something for us. And we have not learned to listen to Him yet on our own. And He's going to make sure we find out. And there's times that, I'll be honest, I'm just too emotionally tired and stressed and overwhelmed, and I don't feel like listening. I'm shut down. And I know some of you are too because I talk to you. And it's okay. God will get the old 2x4 out and He'll bring somebody along and they'll wake you up. But that's why He has to use other people. When my mom died, this is how God, and I'm trying to make this real to you because I'm going to give you plenty of biblical examples, but I want to make it real. When my mom passed away, they were shooting stuff into her heart and shocking her and trying to bring her back, and she was dying right in front of me, and I was just falling apart. I just lost my dad a few months before. And the boys were in another room, I think on another floor of the hospital. And there was this thing that Zach and I had going back and forth for some time, and he decided at the exact moment, unbeknownst to anyone, he's just sitting downstairs by himself in the waiting room, and they're working on my mom, and I'm just falling apart. And my phone goes off while they are working on her. And I looked at it, and it was a text message. And it said, "Do you think God doesn't know? Just remind me that God was in control. And He knew what was going on, and it was okay." It was the exact moment they're shocking my mom, trying to bring her back. And God will speak through other people when you are needed. So, it's pretty awesome. Now, who does He use to talk to you? Well, there's two breeds of people He'll use. The first one is those with a conscious and intentional message. And they've heard something from God and they felt compelled to tell me, like the person that came to me and said, "Hey, this is crazy, but God's got to say blah, blah, blah." They feel they have something to reveal. And one of the things there, to give you a biblical example, 2 Samuel 11 and 12, when David has done his thing with Bathsheba, Nathan the prophet comes to him. And 2 Samuel 11, 27 starts here. "And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her, Bathsheba, to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." 2 Samuel 12, 1. "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David." Nathan knew he had a message for David, and he went. "And he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and one poor.' And he went on to say how the poor man had one little lamb, and it ate from his plate, from his table. It was his best friend, it was his buddy, it was his companion. And the rich man had hundreds of lambs. The rich man had a party. The rich man went, instead of killing one of his hundreds of lambs that meant nothing to him, he went and took this poor man's single pet and killed it to feed his guests. And David, who used to be a shepherd and loved and understood, stood up and said, 'That man shall die after he pays back fourfold.' Nathan stood up and said, 'David, you the man. I'm talking about you, brother.'" It was a direct message from God. And here's how it ended, 2 Samuel 12, 13. "So David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.'" Broken, because God used someone to speak to him. Why? Because he was so fleshy he couldn't hear. But that was a direct, purposeful message, right? Well, then in the New Testament, you've got Acts 21, 10, just a very quick one. Agabus is a prophet. Acts 21:10. As we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt, Paul, and deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles." Again, it was a direct message for Paul from Agabus, speaking through someone else. And everywhere Paul went, every city he went, God sent someone to say, "You will be jailed and killed when you get there." It was telling him. But the Holy Spirit in him said, "Nevertheless, go on. Nevertheless, go on." But there was someone there to give a message everywhere for Paul, because he speaks through people. Now, we saw that very clearly when we thought after buying the land about buying another church. Remember that? Won't go into it all. But the gentleman that came up to me who didn't know any of our plans, crying, and said, "God said to tell you whatever you're thinking about doing right now, don't do it." Weeping, literally, like something right out of Scripture. So, yes, we see it still happen. Now, here's the other side of that. Those used unknowingly and unintentionally. And it happens very often. And it happens in Scripture. And I'm going to give you one in Scripture, okay? And that's 1 Samuel 25:32. And I'm taking my time to walk you through these because God is going to use these things in our lives if we're serious. And you got to have a grasp on them. And you got to be looking. And you got to be expectant. And you got to be willing and wanting and waiting. If you don't know it and you don't see it and we don't talk about it, you're not going to be looking and wanting and waiting. And we're going to be dead in the water just like we have been in the past. And it's time for us to move, people. I think we're all getting that picture. I don't think the heat could be turned up anymore from Satan, so something's getting ready to crack. 1 Samuel 25:32. Then David said to Abigail, here's the deal. Let me give you a quick scene. Nabal, it was a man who said that if David would help take care of his sheep, him and his men, that he would do good things for him and his men. David helped watch after his sheep, did great things for Nabal, and then when it came time for Nabal to do his part, he's like, "Who? David, who?" Literally, that's what he said. Who are you? What? What? I don't understand. So David was so furious, he got 400 of his men, and off he goes. And he was going to not leave a man alive in the whole city because of that one man, because he was so furious. Because he's already running from the king, he's already having a hard time, and he's trying to get what he can for his men anywhere he can. And here he is helping this guy, and this is what he gets for it. So Abigail is Nabal's wife. And this is what she does. David's on his way to kill the whole city. All right? Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me." Now, she didn't know she was coming from God. She was just scared. "And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hastened and come to meet me, surely by morning light no male would have been left to Nabal." So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person." And within 10 days, Nabal was dead by the Lord anyway. But Abigail had no idea that she was turning David around. She was an unknown, unintentionally used person of God. God knew what it would take to wake David up. God will move that way so often. I had a person at work that came to me, and it was awesome, and it's all God, because I was on the other side. And I knew I was used unaware. This girl that worked on our line, she said, "I want to ask you a question. How do you always know?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Every single time I come in heavy on my heart, something's weighing me down, you come up to me and you ask me about that very thing, and you talk to me till I feel better." She said, "It's happened so many times, it's getting freaky. How do you know?" I said, "That's all God, buddy." And God will do that. If you will be open to God and you will let God lead you, and He'll bring other people into your life like that. When you're needing that confirmation, when you're needing that encouragement, it'll be there. My gosh, the times Don has done it unknowingly. So, now I'm going to give you this, and I want you to listen real close. I'm going to close the door on this one. in the Old and in the New Testaments, when God speaks to another person, please listen. You're reading it right there, but now listen and let it sink in deep. This is major. If God speaks to you through anybody in any way, it will only confirm what the Holy Spirit has already told you in your heart. You might have been ignoring it. You might have tried to repress it. You might have been angry about it. But when you hear it, it will ring a chord with you, and you will know that you know that you know God has been telling you that, like it or not. Because God will not tell you something through someone else that His Spirit living deep inside of you hasn't already told you. If something is brought up that you don't like, but you know it and you feel it, it's God. If something's brought up and it's so contrary to anything you ever thought God was telling you and you're really honest about that, run. And we'll talk more about that later. That's all going to come in the last chapter of this entire thing when we talk about how to question what you've heard. Because there are scriptural guidelines to do so. But I have to mention it now before you go out with this new thought of listening to other people for God. People will only be used to confirm what the Holy Spirit is already telling you. Every time. You won't find an instant in the Old or New Testament that someone that had a prophet or a regular everyday citizen come to them and say something that God wasn't already putting in their heart. What could be greater than the Holy Spirit living in you? So, and I want you to be very cautious not to accept those things. Now, the problem is sometimes Satan knows how to play it. And you're having a hard time. And you'll get somebody to come along and tell you, as a godly person with a righteous attitude, even meaning well, that God wants you to walk away from that hard time. Because He wants to give you some rest or whatever. You better know that that's what the Holy Spirit was telling you. In case you don't remember, Matthew 16:22, when Jesus told them He was to be crucified, then Peter took Him aside, began to, what? Rebuke Jesus. Wow. Rebuke Jesus, saying to Him, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." The Greek for "far be it" is helios, and it means, "God be gracious in averting this calamity." I'm going to show you the best translation I've ever seen for this, which is unusual, is the New Century Version. Here's how it reads. Peter took Jesus aside and told Him not to talk like that. He said, "God save you from those things, Lord. Those things will never happen to you." If a godly person came up to you and you had just been struggling for months or years and you were just at your wits' end and you're about to go crazy and you're out of money and your wife's getting ready to leave you because you work all the time for God, and they say, "God has said, far be it from you to continue this way. It is time for you to lay down your ministry." You would have to think really hard, wouldn't you? Man, I'm feeling it. It's not how appealing it is, not how much you like what you're hearing, but is it in your heart? When I went to midshift, I was forced to midshift. You guys remember, it just blew everything out of the water. I had to stop all my counseling. I couldn't come to night services. It just ruined everything. I was talking to a very close friend at work, and they said to me, in good intentions, "Hey, you know, the Lord knows when it's time to start a ministry and the Lord knows when it's time to stop. And I think maybe God's telling you it's time to stop your ministry." And I'm like, what? We just got land. God has that church pumped more than they've ever been. This place is getting exciting. We have finally found out what it's really like to listen to God. And you are coming and tell... It was Peter all over again. So I smacked him twice and said, "Get behind me, Satan!" That's an exaggeration. I only hit him once. No. But you know what I did with that? "Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. I'll think about it." Gloop. Close the trash can. In no way was God telling me that. I knew He meant well, but I knew He hadn't listened to God. So, and what did Jesus say? "Get behind me." Because He knew. Now, the other thing I'll ask you is, we do have people with a gift to hear from God in this congregation. And we're going to go through that in an upcoming series. Listen to me. Listen. If you ever have a word from God, whether it's a one-time thing or you feel like you've got the gift, you better know that you know before you open your dadgum mouth and say, God told me to tell you because you're messing with fire. Number one, from your God and Creator. And number two, you can totally destroy someone's life if they're a little bit too immature and they go listening to you instead of what God said. And your big old ego got in the way because you felt like you had a word from God because that's your gift. And your gift of gab, not your gift of prophecy, caused somebody to go down the road and totally miss what God had for them. Do you think you won't be accountable? The reason many churches fear the gifts from the Holy Spirit is because they're so abused. I am open to anything God tells us to do in here and let any gift rule, but doggone it, better be real and not for your enjoyment or your ego. You can hurt people drastically. So all I ask is that you be sure. And then when God speaks and you know it's God, don't you hold back, because that's just as wrong. But when I have two, three, four people from this congregation all coming to give me a word from God and they're all different, somebody ain't listening. And it's happened several times. And I'm not mad about it at all, but it's my job to see these things and to make sure we go in the right direction. And we need to be hungry for God and His Word and His gifts and His direction, but we need to do it intelligently. All right. Now, that was the first one, speaking through people. This one's a little shorter, but it's so important. The only other one I'm going to cover today. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God misses anything that happens in your life? Because he's busy or he's distracted or he's in the John. Do you believe that he couldn't control anything he wanted to control in your life? Do you believe he doesn't care? So if you answered all those questions properly, then it's obvious that he's either controlling or allowing everything in your life. Right? A lot of people that are mad at God believe that better than you do, because that's why they're mad at Him. Because they believe it, they don't like it. With that, throughout Scriptures, one of the most powerful ways God speaks to His people is through circumstance. And it's been said that two things leave a lasting impression in anyone: great beauty and great pain. Circumstances in life bring you both. And God knows that. Why do you think children have to get a spanking? Because for you to tell them no, 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 they are not affected. But if you want to leave a lasting impression, show them a beautiful picture when you tell them no. No. Pain. Now, circumstances in life bring you things like this: blessings, answered prayer. These circumstances affect your life. Unanswered prayer. Those circumstances ever affected your life? Failures. Those circumstances ever affected your life? Successes, tragedies, disasters, deaths, finances, oh boy, so-called coincidences, your health, your relationships. And there are many more. But that top list right there, God has more circumstances rolling in those areas. You say you believe God has control. You say you believe He can filter anything that comes into your life. Yet when these things happen, you suddenly ask, where is God? Why is this happening? Why won't you get me out of it? You never think God's actually moving or talking. You always think it's either punishment or God's lost control. It has nothing to do with anything you've ever learned in Scripture. And I shouldn't say you, I should say we, because I'm right there. Have you ever been through a very trying time in life and desperately asked God, God, are you trying to tell me something? Because I'm listening now. You ever done that? Were you listening intently before the circumstances? Were you listening at all before the circumstances? Now he rang your bell, and between the clenched fist shaking, you say, "What are you trying to tell me?" He finally got your attention through circumstances. Listen closely, because this is where I want some things to come together, because our lack of understanding in God's will in our life will make us question God and will make us not want to listen. It will make us bitter. So I'm going to throw in a little commercial break here, okay? I want you to listen close to this. Does this mean that everything that happens in my life is God's perfect will? Well, it happened. God let it happen. This is just His will for my life. It's His will that I got married 7 times, had 12 illegitimate children, and burned half my brain on meth. Because He was in control and He let it happen. First Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Listen. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." You got that, right? His desire is what? That all men come to the truth and be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that," how many? "Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So, let me ask you this question. Will all be saved? No. Is it God's perfect will, according to those verses, that all would be saved? Yes. Well, what does that tell us? It tells us that everything which happens, please listen, because this will come back to you, everything that happens is not God's perfect will. Now, don't scream blasphemy and throw rocks at me. I want you to listen. God allows us to be free will agents. If we were not free will agents, we would not have a love affair with God. You've heard me say that. You have to have the freedom to not love before the love is real. All right. So our choices, listen, if we're not forced into His perfect will like a robot, listen, you're going to need this. If you're not forced into His perfect will, then it means your choices and the choices of other people around you will sometimes bring about things that God didn't want in His perfect will, because He gave us a choice and we abused that choice, right or wrong. Okay? In His perfect knowledge, He promises, whatever happens, if you'll love and trust me, it will not go unused to be something beautiful. But it doesn't mean it was my will. It doesn't mean it's what I wanted. You can go the wrong way. You can hurt people that you shouldn't have hurt. You can make the wrong decision. Everything you do is not my perfect will. I've given you a choice. So it comes down to this. God has a desired will. I'm putting my own words to something that's very scriptural. But listen, you'll understand. He has a desired will and a chosen will. His desired will is that everyone be saved. His desired will is that everyone find their path. His chosen will is, I'm going to give you your own choice. I'm going to let you fall. I'm going to let you hurt, because you have to learn, because you have to grow, because you have to have faith, because you've got to make your own mistakes, or you'll never learn why you're wrong and want righteousness, because you chose to turn away from me. So I have my perfect desired will, and then I have the will that I have to allow. It's still within my will, because if you make a decision and it's wrong and it hurts you, it was my will that you go ahead and make that decision, because through it, I will use it to either wake you up or prove to you that you didn't want me in the first place. Do you see how God can still work through anything and it can be in His will? But it doesn't mean it's what He wanted. I spent a lot of time explaining that because it fits into what we're going to be talking about here. Because a lot of circumstances we're going to bring up, you're going to say, well, how was that God's will? And you got to fall back on what I just told you. It kills me how we don't want God involved in anything, but the first time something bad happens, we want to blame Him. You can't have it both ways. So let's take a second and examine how we should look for God's voice and direction in these circumstances. Okay? How does God speak through circumstances? This is the first way. Exodus 3:1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. The key phrase in this entire passage that I just read to you is, then Moses said, I will now turn aside. Okay, the number one reason that God will use circumstances is because sometimes in order to interrupt your flow of life, he has to do something big to get your attention. Because you're all caught up in your little path and you're all caught up. If you're like me, man, I have got a system, and if you make me fall out of that system, my world falls apart. And God says, you're fleshly minded, you're following your dreams, you're following your path, you think you got it together, you don't even have a clue, and I don't know how to shake you, and you won't listen to me in here. I'm going to rattle your cage. So I'm going to do something unusual. I'm going to wake you up. The number one biggest way that God will do that is to mess with your circumstances a little bit. Rattle your finances. Get your relationship all shook up. And then you'll stop and say, God, that you? He'll have your attention. How many of you have lived in complete hell and turmoil for a long time because God has shaken your cage so much the bolts have fallen out and you're not stopping to say, God, that you? You're absorbed in your life, you're lost in your ideas, you're worried about unimportant things. Can I get an amen? Woo, woo! And relationships are falling apart, and children are going unloved, and homes are splitting up, and people are dying lost, and people are suffering and crying and in misery with absolutely no self-esteem and no one to give them the truth, and all you're worried about is your car has too many miles on it and you can't keep up with Mr. Simpson down the road. And God says, I need to shake your cage. And then when he does, all you do is get upset because your world got thrown out of balance instead of listening to him. And he's speaking. And you complain, he doesn't speak to me. He doesn't talk to me. Doggone it, God, why are you letting this happen? Why won't God talk to me? He's talking. It's the only way he can talk to you because you won't straighten up and fly right. It's his only avenue. And then you just shake your fist at him for that. You've got to recognize where God's at and what He's doing. He's in control. He's talking. Get in the program. He wants you to refocus on what's important. He wants to make you take the time to listen to Him. He wants to make you want to take the time to listen to Him. And if Jesus Christ and His life in itself wasn't too much to end, to bring us to Him and love Him. Why do you think anything in your life is not worth taking for Him to win your love and your soul eternally? Anything in your life is free game to be tampered with if He can win your soul. And you ought to love Him for that. How many of you know somebody that had to have terrible sickness or injury or earth-shattering divorce or a wayward child to slow them down long enough to get serious about God? Every one of you probably. Some of you are that person. The second way. Jonah 4:6. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned, the next day, God prepared a worm. Who prepared a worm? God prepared a worm. And it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than live. And then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry even unto death. Basically what he said. But the Lord said, you've had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night, perished in a night. And I should not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. You know what he's saying there? God was saying, who can't discern between their right hand and their left? Children. The ones that are innocent. You might not like these warlike Ninevite Assyrians, but what about the children and the livestock? You're worried about a stinking plant because it keeps your head from sweating, and you're mad enough at me to spit. And yet you bat your eyes at the hundreds of thousands of lives that could be taken any moment. And God had to use these circumstances, simple circumstances, listen, this is where it comes together, to make Jonah realize he had a heart problem. So, with that said, here's number two. God will use circumstances to speak vividly to us and show our imperfections. He will use circumstances to reveal a part of us that we had no idea in our worldly mindset needed to be addressed. This is one of the most incredible things about marriage. Because you get that close to someone that your guard goes down. How many times do you speak more rashly, harshly to your spouse than anyone else because you're comfortable with them? You can do it. How many times does what they do grate your nerves more than anyone else in the world because you have dropped your guard and you can be your selfish little self, and they do something and it brings out the absolute worst in you that nobody else will ever see and you didn't even know you had in you? When you get to that point, you'd rather throat punch your spouse than talk to them, and then you got to step back and say, man, what is wrong with me? You know what? God just used your circumstances to reveal a part of you that you need to address that would have never come out in any other way. And when He takes away your finances and you're furious and you hate the world and it's all about poor, pitiful you, God just showed the self-centeredness that you've got, that you had all along, that He saw, that you never knew was there and would never have addressed had He not spoken to you through your circumstances to let you know you had the problem. He's speaking in bright, full color. And instead of listening to what God is saying through circumstances, we get angry. We get self-pitying. Why won't you speak to me? Why do you treat me this way? I'm treating you great and I'm speaking to you. You just don't realize either one. You'll read it in Scripture and you'll believe it, but you won't live it. It's not supposed to be for you. Why? We have ignored or have had unknown issues right here in unforgiveness and in pride and in jealousy and in lust. And until God rocks your world, until God brings something out so hard on you that He makes it very apparent just how ugly you are, He'll put you under the heat in circumstances and turn it up so high that it'll float to the top and you'll be like, man, I didn't even know I had that in me. You see your selfishness in your relationships. You see your self-pity when you lose your finances or you get sick and it's you instead of somebody else this time. You see how pitiful you feel about yourself and how little you care about God when all this time for God has left me no time for myself. So I stay upset all the time. God put those circumstances there very possibly to let you see just how selfish you are. Why don't you pay attention to the circumstances so that He can show you what He's trying to show you? He's communicating. And He may just have to work with your failure, or He may just have to let you get caught at something you've hid all along because you won't realize you've got a problem until you finally get caught and get embarrassed in front of someone else. Or He might let you see someone treat you that way so you can say, man, that's dirty, filthy. How could they do me that way?
Oh, I do that.
You ever done that? Yeah. Or He may just be low down enough that when you act like an imbecile, He'll bring somebody along to love you through it like you should be doing. And then you can really just wallow in your pity. Because God had the mercy to show you what you should be doing instead of beating you down like you beat everybody else down. He's using circumstances. You think he's not in control? You think God doesn't know what he's doing? Think God doesn't know? TGDK is what we used to say. TGDK. Think God doesn't know? Three. Sometimes you realize these things. Sometimes you see these things. Sometimes circumstances make you see it. And the problem is, I've counseled with people, and through their talking amongst themselves, they realize what their problem was. Oh my gosh, I have been doing this. Oh my gosh, I have treated them this way. We come back 6 months later and we counsel again, and guess what they're saying? Oh my gosh, I do have that problem. Oh my gosh, I have acted that way. They haven't done anything with it. Sometimes God will bring events into your lives that will literally break and humble you into repentance because you refuse to deal with it. And God loves you enough that He will break you if you belong to Him. He will use circumstances to communicate with you to the point of forcing you to break in humility if you won't control yourself and you really do belong to Him. Do you want to push yourself to that point? He's game, not because He's bitter, but because He loves you. Daniel 4:30, Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest empire ever in all times on all the earth over Babylon. Listen to how he spoke. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" You laugh, but some of you talk that way. Have you ever stopped and listened to somebody and you could count, probably not on both hands and both feet, how many times they say, "I, my, me," in one sentence? Yeah. So, God had to deal with him. God had already shown him his power. God had already shown his might through Daniel. He had already said, "Daniel, your God is awesome." And then he turned right around and built this great statue and talked about how awesome he was right after. So, what he had to do was cause him to literally go insane, become undignified, become an idiot animal in front of his whole empire, run out and feed off the grass for 7 years. Not take a bath, not trim his nails, not talk to anybody, howl at the moon, and sleep in the dew. For 7 years, God's like, "Okay, if I can't do anything else," and this is why, because he knew where Nebuchadnezzar's heart was going to be, this Gentile crazy king, he knew he would eventually get him if he communicated the right way. And there was nothing left but to bring circumstances to break him. So, he sent him out into the field for 7 years. And this is what happened. It's awesome. Daniel 4:34. Now, this is Nebuchadnezzar, believe it or not, ending the book of Daniel. This is him writing. "And at the end of the time of craziness, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever." That's a little different tune, ain't it? Why? Circumstances. Communication from God in a real harsh way. "For His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, His ways justice, and those who walk in pride He is able to put down," said the King of the known world. God, if you belong to Him and will not listen, will eventually use circumstances to bust you down until you got nothing left to do but look up. Till you can't complain anymore because you got no breath left in you. And when you finally look up and become humbled, He will say, "Come give me a hug." Because you're more beautiful to Him in that moment than you ever were. Some of you are kicking right now. Some of you are fighting right now. And God's screaming at you through your circumstances and you're determined to go until you're at the bottom of the pit and you're naked. Fourth way, to challenge your faith. I won't go deep into this at all, but basically what God will say in His circumstances is, "Will you trust me? Do you believe me?" The Israelites trapped at the Red Sea. The Israelites, 4 million people needing food, water, clothing for 40 years. God says, "Do you trust me? How did he say, do you trust me? Through the circumstances. David, as a 14-year-old punk kid, circumstances arose. Goliath stepped out. The whole world was scared of him. And God said through his circumstances, David, do you trust me? God, through his circumstances, will throw down the gauntlet of challenge to you in a very real, purposeful way. And the fact is, most of the time, we tucker our tail between our legs and we go home. We won't listen to what God said. We won't accept the challenge of faith. God is speaking to you every time he puts something in front of you that requires your faith. He's speaking and saying, please trust me. Fifth, to show us the way. God will use circumstances to literally show you the proper direction. Sometimes because he'll open a door of confirmation as we follow his will. The story that I heard from Stephanie Davis broke my heart the first time she came here and sold me on that gal. And when we all met behind closed doors to discuss whether we want to support her, there was no discussion. Partially because she said, God told me to go, and I went. What kind of preparations did you have for when you'd get there? Not a lot. I just knew he said go. And before she got there, the doors were open, right? Because she stepped out on what she was told, God communicated with her through her circumstances that he was on board, that she had heard right, and that he was with her. He communicated more vividly than his voice ever could. He opened the doors in front of her as she went, saying, well done, well done. This is what I wanted. This is what I wanted. Same thing when we opened the church. He put me out of work the week before I was going to do it. Why? Because he knew I would have to be full-time. I didn't even know that. Didn't have a penny to pay my bills. Didn't have a penny to start the church. But we had stepped through what God told us to do. Do you know he paid every bill? He gave us every penny, supernaturally, almost down to the dollar. Every time we needed money, it came in from somebody. Half the time from people that didn't even know what we needed or how much. But God was opening doors. He was communicating through the circumstances to let me know you chose well. I'm showing you the way. Now, here's the other reason that God will use circumstances to show us the way. You listening? This is it. Sometimes, literally, he'll show us the right direction by placing us in an exact location. Listen. By placing us in an exact location, he's going to need us to work. And we didn't even know it. Such as, it was totally God's sovereignty in communicating with Joseph when he didn't even know it. When he moved Joseph to Egypt, made him show off his skills, taught him humility, and then put him in front of the right person to make him second in command of an entire nation to save all of Israel. The circumstances that God brought about. Right? What about Philip? When God said, go to this road between Jerusalem and Gaza. Travel south. That's all I'm going to tell you. When he got there, a eunuch showed up. And that eunuch was saved because Philip intercepted him and rode with him on that day. He had listened and God had placed him exactly where he needed to be. It was direct communication. God will, through circumstances, put you where you need to be. And then you'll look around and say, oh my gosh, this was God's plan all along. And you think God's not talking to you? It's awesome. You ever ask why God's put you in a crazy, unusual, or uncomfortable, dangerous position? What you need to ask is, why do you have me here? What am I supposed to do? I'm here for a reason. Because you're in control. And you're talking to me right now. And what you're saying is, I need you here. So why don't you stand up and take some orders instead of complaining? Because God's talking. Malcolm Muggeridge. Every happening, great and small, is a parable whereby God speaks to us. And the art of life is to get the message. in light of all the ways we've seen God might speak, when you see events around you, I'm going to give you this in closing. When you're trying to look and discern, when things are going on around you in your life, listen to me. This is what I want you to think about. One, everything that happens in your life, I want you to look for the potential message from God. Whether it be, hey, you're sinning, whether it be, hey, I'm trying to show you you're ugly, or whether it be, hey, I've got some work here for you. When a circumstance arises that is unusual, what you say is, God, I'm listening. What would you have? Because God is in control, and He's talking. Two, now listen. God hit me in the head with this one. When you get in those crazy circumstances, are you listening? When you get in the crazy circumstances, look for the evidence of God instead of wondering where He is. Instead of saying, well, God can't be in this, look for the evidences because He's always there. Man, that hurts me because I don't do that. But He made it very apparent that when things are crazy and I'm the maddest and the most upset, why don't I look for the evidence that He's behind it all rather than look to see where did He go? Because He's behind it. And three, do what you can with what you have where you are. Because that's all He wants you to do. And He'll do the rest. And lastly, don't ever compare what's happening to you to what somebody else did when it happened to them. Because the plan between you and them could be as different as a dog and a cat. And you got no idea what God's going to be doing in your life because He did something similar in somebody else's circumstances. None. To be continued. So far, we have learned God speaks through His Word, through His Spirit, through other people, and through circumstance. The week after Stephanie is up here with Ryan Childress. Okay. We're going to cover one topic, and we're going to cover it deep because it is the most controversial topic about hearing from God. Does God speak through dreams and visions? Boy, do the names fly as far as charismatic, holy rolling. Man, you hear it when you start talking about dreams and visions. What does Scripture say? Does God talk that way? Does He not? Are we forcing something when we talk about that, or is it a real mode of operation? I'm not going to let anything out of the bag. We're going to talk about it. And then after that, one of the most important parts of the series, how do I know it's God, not Satan, not me? So that's what we have to cover over the next 2 weeks afterwards. What I ask you to do this week is reflect on the people and the circumstances in your life right now. Right now. With the new knowledge that we have, not even the knowledge so much as the refresher on how we're supposed to look at it. When you start looking at things around you and we start trying to listen to God, two things are going to come into play as to whether you hear Him. This is so big. You have to begin to start with a great big God because we have learned not to expect anything from Him. We have learned He's not going to do miraculous things with us. We have learned He's not going to use us mightily. We have learned He doesn't do those things anymore. And so we come to Him even when we're asking to let us hear His voice and we don't expect anything that He might really be trying to tell us because we don't start with a big God. If you're ready to really, really listen to God, you better really, really be willing to listen to something radical because He's just as big and as wild and crazy as He was then. So you better be ready to start with a big God if you're going to open the door and start listening. Okay? And two, you better really be excited about going wherever He takes you. Because if you're half-hearted, lukewarm, and you're tossed about like ocean waves, what does Scripture say in James? You'll not hear anything from the Lord. You'll not receive anything from the Lord. You better start with a big God, and you better excitedly be ready to jump in the water without your floaties and swim hard. And if you'll get excited, you will get excited and you will expect a big God to show up. You better hold on. Because God's going to do something with you and with this church. That's where we need to start. Let's stand for prayer.